1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to be looking at three verses here, and won't be spending a great deal of time here, but I want us to focus on these verses, and I'll come back to them toward the end. 1 Peter chapter 1, and notice with me verse number 14 to 16. Verse number 14 says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." When I was in Bible college years ago, back in the dark ages, I remember a preacher saying this statement, and I wrote it down in my Bible. He said that toleration leads to compromise, and compromise leads to apostasy. Let me say that again. Toleration leads to compromise. Compromise leads to apostasy. Now, what do those big words mean? Toleration. That means we put up with something. We get used to something. We, you know, I'll just ignore it because it doesn't bug us anymore. We tolerate it. All right, and then that leads to compromise where we accept it, and then that leads to apostasy, where it actually changes some of the things that we do. As I was preparing this message tonight, in the light of the music theme that we are looking at here, I looked up the websites of two of the men that I went to Bible college with. It broke my heart. These were men that studied under the same teachers I studied under. They took a strong stand one day. And today, from what you see from their website, now I'm not judging their preaching. I didn't listen to their preaching. I don't know about that. But you look from the website, and it doesn't look any different than any charismatic church. Black stage, lights, rock band, guitars, the whole nine yards. And you think, what happened? How did that happen? And folks, it is happening all around us. Everywhere you look, it is happening. I know of churches right in our area that ought to know better, that are heading that same direction. And we ask ourselves, why? It started out with toleration. They tolerated the fact that the music in their mind wasn't all that big of a deal. They compromised and decided, well, we'll go ahead and go with that. And that leads to apostasy. Now, when I talk about apostasy, I realize that literal apostasy or full apostasy would turn your back on God. And I'm not saying they're doing that, but certainly turning their back on a lot of things that they once stood for and great changes. And as I thought of our church and I thought of our future, I don't want that to happen to our church. I don't want that to happen to our church. And the only way I can prevent that is to do my utmost best to teach you and to help you to see the importance of this subject. Because contemporary Christian music, CCM, plays a major, major part in the change in thinking and philosophy of churches today. It's a major part of it. It's not just a minor issue, it's a major part. And so tonight, as we look at this, I want to point out four dangers of CCM, contemporary Christian music. Toward the end, I'll bring in more scriptures. Right at the first, there won't be a lot of scriptures in there, but I want you to see some of these things that I have observed and I believe are absolutely true. Number one, CCM is subtle. It is subtle. And that's why it's dangerous. You know, when I put bait on my rat traps, I make it as subtle as I can. Make it look as good as I can so the rats will think there's no harm. And that's what the devil has done with CCM. He has used it in a subtle way. And it, first of all, it captures unsuspecting victims. Christians become accustomed to hearing rock music on television, radio, in the shops, and at work. And every one of us have been accustomed to that. We can't avoid that. That's part of life. Everywhere we go, we hear that stuff. And if you listen to it or tolerate it, it begins to, like, well, yeah, I've heard that lots of times. You know, and we just kind of brush it off like, well, what do you expect? You know, that's, we've heard lots of that. Whereas when you first heard it, you think, oh, wow, that doesn't sound very good. But now it's like, no big deal. And so we get accustomed to these things. Then, numbed by rock music, mild CCM with religious words seems like a good alternative. And I think that's what a lot of has happened, where they'll put some religious words with some milder rock music, and people that are accustomed to the rock, they feel like, well, you know, that's a better alternative than listen to the rock music. At least it doesn't have all the filthy words in it. And that's true, but it doesn't change the fact that the music itself is damaging and is harmful. So that is numbed down by the rock music, they accept it as a good alternative. CCM backbeat and central delivery appeals to the flesh. There's no question about that. The music is appealing. It appeals to the flesh. And our flesh likes it as well as the unbeliever's flesh. That's part of the flesh. And the taste for mild CCM, though, eventually leads to harder forms of the same music. And this week, as I've done research and things of that nature, if you go onto a site that was, refers to as I think it was called CCM Magazine, where it's just all contemporary Christian music. I mean, the music there is unbelievably atrocious. You would never guess it was religious if you didn't stop and really listen to some of the words. And how did it get to that point? Little by little, little by little, it gradually got there through subtlety. And the desire to attract people to the church and to the Lord has caused the motives of preachers to be willing to accept the CCM music. And I can't say as I blame them from that perspective. They look at it and they say, but if we just changed our music a little bit, changed our appearance a little bit, we'll attract more people. We're not going to scare them away. And I'll be the first to admit that our services scare people away. And that breaks my heart. But we're not going to change them. Because those who want the truth will come and find it. But those who are looking for a fix or a buzz from the music are not going to find it here. And a lot of people go to church for that reason. They get them to come because they like the music. And it's no different than the music they listen at home. It just has a few Jesus words in it. And I can put up with that. It's just exciting. I like that. You get up there and you can jive and dance with them and have a good time. And this is good. I like this. So it captures unsuspecting victims. Secondly, it begins with a small tweak of the music style. You know, the backbeat appeals to the flesh. I'll talk a little bit more about that later. But there's that backbeat I mentioned before that on rock music, on our songs that we sing, if it's 4-4 time, it goes 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. Rock music is 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4. And it's emphasizing the backbeat, which is a rebellious type of a music, intended to be rebellious music. They don't beat any bones about that. The rock musicians tell you straight out. It's about rebellion and sex. That's what their music's about. And they tell you that. And yet the same kind of music is used in CCM. Some of it not as obvious, but it's there. Another thing that is very dangerous, and I wish I was better at illustrating it, and I'm not a very good illustrator in this. But the breathiness, where they sing songs with a breathy sound to it and try to drag it out and sound dramatic with their voice, or when they suck on the microphone and they sound like they're whispering some sensual little tune in your ear. And that is very common in that kind of music. And again, I'm not good at showing you what it sounds like. But then there's slurring music, where they slur up to a note and they slur down from a note. Instead of just hitting the note, instead of singing, you know, Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. All that slurring music like that is also very sensually attracted and done on purpose to try to get attention. Another thing that happens is projected CCM up on the screen is replacing the hymnals. Most churches don't have hymnals anymore. They just have the screen up there. And I'm not against the screen per se, but when they just project their CCM up there, junk the hymnals because they don't want the hymnals anymore, and they just sing all this new pop music, and it is leading the wrong direction. Singing becomes a singer-focused performance. And you watch some of these. It is a singer-focused performance. They're up there. There's five or six of them up in the front usually. And they're dancing away and they're singing and they're waving their hands and they're looking, you know, they're acting up the whole stage. They're entertaining people. That's what it's all about. The charismatic waving of their hands. And you know, you read in the scriptures, the scriptures do talk sometimes about lifting your hands to the Lord in praise. So that symbol doesn't necessarily mean it's evil, but when it's in their charismatic way and they're just carrying on like they do, it is patterned after things that are not wholesome. And then they're dancing and rousing, that rousing entertainment that gets going into these services is, again, it's all about entertainment. It's all about the singers. It's about them. And as they sing like that, let me just back up a second here. Charismatic hand-waving and sensual dancing, arousing entertainment rather than spiritual songs of reflective praise to the glory of God alone. Crowds applaud the singers and the musicians and they neglect the glory of God or they rob God of His glory. I mean, when they're singing, what happens? They just burst into applause after they've done their singing. Especially if it's one of their heroes that comes on stage to sing for them. Or they're introducing him. Today we're going to have Joe Blow, that's the CCM hero of the world. You know, and he comes on and everybody, it's all applaud about him. It's about the singer. It is not about God. It is not about lifting up the name of God in glory. It's about praising the person. It is naturally then promotes change. Casual dress is less offensive and replaces the old-fashioned conservative dress. You know, you see the preacher stand up there in blue jeans and a t-shirt. I can see that at a campfire on a Friday night. But on a Sunday morning? Is that what God wants? Some of the singers that I saw in some of these churches I just mentioned, women up there with their blue jeans, t-shirt, and holes in their knees, standing up there, the lead singers. That's how they're dressed. Swaying back and forth and dancing to their music. Change has taken place. The rock music, of course, requires equipment needed for their performance. Their drums and their bass guitars and their big amplifiers and the lights and the flickers and all the smoke and all the stuff that they put up there, and you got to paint everything black in order to make it fit the atmosphere. Changes take place. The stage changes. All of these things for better entertainment. And then the hip swaying that naturally follows the backbeat gradually leads to sensual dancing. And it's not appropriate. Women begin to play a greater part in the singing, teaching, and even the preaching of these services. Now, there's a place for women in the church. There's no question about that. But to be the leaders in some of these areas, especially when it gets into the teaching and preaching to the congregation, they've overstepped the bounds of scriptures. The church name, then, of course, must be changed to a generic name to avoid offending anybody. And that's why you're seeing so many churches that used to be such and such Baptist church, now it's, you know, Joe's Community Church. Because they don't want to offend anybody. Baptist is a nasty name. You know, who wants that name? And they're changing it. And these churches that I mentioned, even some of the guys that I went to school with, no longer the Baptist in the name now. It's some other generic name. Because that's offensive. And we don't want to turn anybody away. Worshiping him, worshipful hymns sung in a straight rhythm with a focus on glorifying the Lord with no emphasis on the singer are set aside. Those are old-fashioned. People don't like that. It turns people off. Can't have that. Here's another thing that if you watch, you'll see. You will very seldom, maybe never, see a pulpit in one of those churches. They use a music stand because it's not cool to have a pulpit. It's not about the preaching. That's not what the service is about. The service is about the music. And you drag on one of the music stands and set it up there, and the preacher can put his Bible on there and have a little chat with him in his blue jeans and a t-shirt and have a nice casual talk to the people so nobody feels offended. We don't want it to feel like you're in church where they're going to preach at you. It needs to be more comfortable than that. They will say, doctrine will not change. The doctrine's not going to change. But is that true? Usually not. Usually not. The doctrine will usually change, at least some, by dubbing down the preaching to accommodate the carnal crowd. When you get a crowd in through the preaching and the music, when you get the crowd in through the music and the singing and the entertainment, they will not tolerate strong preaching. They'll say, we'll go somewhere else. There's lots of these churches around. We'll find another one that doesn't preach at us all the time. We don't want that. And so they have to calm down the preaching. Maybe not completely leave out the subject of sin and separation and eternal damnation, but they certainly will avoid those topics as much as possible and dumb it down so that it doesn't offend. So there's all kinds of changes that take place. And so we see here that, first of all, the CCM is subtle. But then also I want us to see that CCM is appealing. It appeals to the world. And that's why churches are going that direction. It appeals to the world. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, and I've discussed it with some of you, how can we reach the people of our community? How can we get them to come? And if we set up a rock band and had that kind of a service, we would get more people to come. No question about it. But if you get them for the wrong motives, you've got to keep them for the wrong motives. And if you get them through entertainment, you've got to continually increase the entertainment in order to keep them. Or they're going to say, oh, we've heard this before. This is getting boring. Let's go someplace else where I got a little bit more exciting music. You've got to continue to build up. That's why once they get their foot in the door, they have to keep building on it and keep adding to it and keep expanding it until they get further and further and deeper into it. Because once you're in, you can't get out and you cannot back off or you lose it. And they don't want to lose their people. So there's a great appeal to the law, the unbelievers. And the unbelievers enjoy that kind of music. It's just like their secular music and they feel right at home. And it appeals to the world because of that worldly beat in there. That backbeat, that 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And we hear that all the time. You can sit at the stoplight and hear the three cars over. You can hear the same thing. You hear that thump, 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 thump. And it's that backbeat that is sometimes subtle and you can't hardly hear it in some of the CCM music. Other times it is very obvious. But whether it's subtle or obvious, the backbeat is what appeals to our sensual, fleshly nature. And that is not the right thing to appeal to. And it'll do us harm to listen to that. And that rhythm appeals to the flesh so that it makes us feel like dancing in a sensual way. It also appeals to carnal Christians. Now, when I talk about carnal Christians, it's the opposite of spiritual Christians. A spiritual Christian is one like we discussed this morning, the Romans 12, 1 and 2 Christian. And it takes work to maintain a spiritual walk with God. But the carnal Christian, and we've all been there, we all know what that's like, to not be really walking with the Lord like we ought to. This music appeals to that. No question about it. It appeals to the flesh. And CCM appeals to that carnal flesh that we have, and our flesh likes that beat, the sensuality, the dancing, the atmosphere. That appeals to the human flesh. That's just the reality. And that's why it is so common in our world today in the rock system, but it's also true that it's happening in the CCM movement. CCM may produce a spiritual buzz or a high, but it never produces true spirituality in a Christian. You're not going to find truly spiritual people that will listen to that kind of music. It just doesn't happen. Now, I'm not saying they're all a bunch of pagans or they're all wicked, but a lot of them, I think, are deceived, but it's not going to help you to grow spiritually. You sing some of the great songs in our book, you know, you sing Great Is Thy Faithfulness, that's not going to go over too good in one of those CCM churches. But the words in that song are so rich, they feed your soul, you can meditate on them and they'll strengthen you and help you and encourage you throughout your life. And they're scripture-oriented songs. That's one of the greatest things about the hymns, is they're scripture-oriented songs. One preacher said this. He said, if it was possible for the devil to destroy all of the Bibles in the world, as long as they didn't get rid of our hymn books, we could still preach the gospel because the gospel's in the hymns. And that's the way it ought to be. Now, I'm not saying that we want to trade our Bibles for the songbook, but I'm saying that is why we use the songbooks that we do, because they're based on the scriptures. Now, some of them are more scripture-oriented than others, but we use that for that reason. Now, it also appeals to ignorant Christians. And I'm afraid, you know, that's basically what I'm trying to teach you here tonight. I don't want you to be ignorant Christians. I want you to be informed. Some Christians just don't have the information. They've never been taught. They don't know the difference between, you know, straight rhythm and the backbeat rhythm of the rock music or the CCM. They don't never been taught that, and they think that, you know, the type of music you listen to is a personal preference. And a lot of people feel that way. Oh, you like classical? Oh, yeah, I prefer rock. You know, what's your kind? Oh, you like country? Yeah, that's fine. Whatever you like. To each his own. And a lot of people feel that way. And that makes kind of sense, humanly speaking. But that's not right biblically or right for the Christian. We can't just say, oh yeah, whatever you like is okay. Because there is good music and there is bad music as a whole. Much of the classical music is technically good music. It's written in a good style. And the hymns are written in a good style, in a proper music style. Whereas the rock music is written in a poor music style. The backbeat is a rebellious music. And they know that. And true musicians would tell you that there's nothing quality about the rock-type music. And so we need to understand that. Now, if you've not learned that singing with breathy sounds and sliding and up and down in the notes and the whispery, intimate sounds, if you haven't learned that that is wrong, you may not recognize that. There's a lot of songs that are CCM songs that are, and sometimes it's not even totally a contemporary Christian song, it just, there's a lot of borderline songs. There's a lot of things that are in the borderline things, and even in some good churches where they are singing hymns, but they're adding some of this sliding and the breathiness and all that kind of stuff into those songs, even though it's perfectly good songs. They're corrupting it by adding some of those things in it, so we need to be very careful with that. Just sing the notes. Just sing what it says, and we're better off that way. It'll keep us out of a lot of danger and trouble. Because people are musically ignorant, they become easy prey to the CCM movement. Number three, the CCM is erosive. It erodes biblical separation. What do I mean by that? Well, God calls us to come out from among them and be separate. And CCM erodes our biblical standards. It erodes modesty in dress. It erodes the a lot of these kind of things as far as standards that we would have as Christians. The singers often mimic the worldly musicians. The women singers will wear their tight pants or their short skirts and their low necklines, and mimicking the other people. When you get to the, you know, I looked at that CCM magazine website, and you see some of the pictures, and you think, oh, I can't believe they call themselves a Christian. It's just unbelievable in the way that they're doing it. Now, I know that's the extreme, but it's where CCM takes people. So we need to be very careful with that. CCM naturally promotes dance. You say, but Pastor, the Bible talks about David dancing. It talks about Miriam dancing. Yes, look up the words. What do they mean? The word dance in the Bible means to leap for joy or to twirl around in rejoicing. And when Miriam who was 83 years old, and the other women that were dancing with her when they came across the Red Sea were not up there dancing back and forth, jigging back and forth like they were in a rock band. They weren't doing that. They were leaping and twirling and rejoicing. Much like sports fans would do when somebody gets a goal. They're jumping for joy and excited. That's the kind of dancing the Bible talks about. Now, there are a couple of times in the Bible you find the other kind of dancing, one of them being Herodias' daughter when she danced before Herod. We know that that was another kind of dancing because of what it produced. If she was just leaping for joy and rejoicing, Herod would not have said, oh, wow, that was amazing. Go, you can have anything you want in the kingdom. I'll give you half of my kingdom. No, she was doing something sleazy that she shouldn't have been doing. And that's why he said that. And so we know that there's more than one kind of dancing. They knew that back then. But we need to be careful because people will argue for the dance that they do when they're up on the stage. But when they start swinging their hips and going back and forth to the music like that, that is not godly movements. Christians should not be dancing around like that and wiggling their bodies and wobbling their bodies back and forth like that in a dancey form. That is not godly. That is sensual. And we need to be very careful about that. CCM erodes men's view of a holy God. You know, just picture in your mind Isaiah chapter 6. When Isaiah saw the Lord, what did he do? He immediately fell on his face before the Lord. And the angels of heaven were crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And Isaiah said, woe is me, I am undone. And he saw himself as a sinner before God because he was in the presence of God. That kind of atmosphere is not the atmosphere you see in one of these concerts. It is just the opposite. It is entertainment. It is sensual. It is appealing to the flesh. It is not bringing glory and honor to the Lord. It erodes doctrinal purity as well. To accompany CCM, preachers modify their Bible doctrine that they preach. They redefine what is right and wrong. They have to. Because it's not tolerable and acceptable with that kind of a crowd to preach the hard truth of the Word of God. And to avoid this, they calm the topics of sin and judgment. And I'm sure there's probably some exceptions. I'm not saying it's an absolute rule, but that's what normally happens. Not only that, but even in some of these good churches that know better, the women now are doing some of the preaching. Standing up and doing that. How is that happening? It's all happening because it's all weaving into it. It's leading to that. The women are taking charge of these things. And that's not what the Bible says. I don't care what people say today, that women ought to be able to preach just like men. That's not what God said. God is very clear about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. It also erodes the textual fidelity. You know, the King James and the New King James Bibles were translated from the Textus Receptus, Greek text, the majority Greek text. and they're not popular. They're not accepted in the modern culture. And so most of these churches have changed to one of the newer Bibles that come from the critical text. ESV is one of the most popular Bibles in the world. NIV probably second. And they come from the critical text that has a lot of verses left out of it and changed it because of the text that it comes from. But it's what is accepted in our society today, and it doesn't offend people. And then lastly, CCM is deceitful. I told you we'd get to some scriptures, and let me just read some scriptures to help you to understand where I'm coming from. It deceives regarding God's clear warnings against worldliness. Just this morning, I preached from Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 5:11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. James 4, 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore is a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Enemy. And CCM is undermining this. It's opening the door to compromise. And it also deceives regarding God's urging to Christ-likeness. Matthew chapter 6, or 5, verse 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Peter 1:14-16, the verses we read to begin with this evening. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the form of lust and your ignorance, but as he which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because he said, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And then 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. I want to read one last verse as we close this evening from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31, God had prepared Moses for his death. And he said, Moses, you're not going to be able to go into the promised land because you hit the rock instead of talking to the rock. And the verse I want to read is verse number 16 of 31. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. How did Moses feel? He had spent 40 years leading those people. Now they're entering into the promised land, and God said, Moses, they're going to forsake me. They're going to go whoring after the idols of the land. And there's nothing you can do to stop it or to prevent it. Moses' heart must have broke. God told him to write a song, and so chapter 31 is the song that Moses wrote, and they were to memorize this song to warn them, to encourage them to do what's right, lest they go astray. But we know the story. They went astray. And folks, I don't want that to happen to our church. And I can't prevent it myself. As long as I'm your pastor, I'll do my utmost best to prevent it, but I can't be here forever. And I can't guarantee I can prevent it forever. That's where you come in. I want you to stand strong. I want you to take a stand, and I want you to say, no, we're not going that route. We're not going to let our music change. We're going to sing the good old hymns. We're going to stay strong in the Lord. Even if our church doesn't reach huge sizes, It's better off that we take a stand for the Lord and do what is right than that we compromise and let things go out of place.